Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Look at KP, 34-11. He was all over the glass and defending the rim.
He's the best player on the floor tonight, leads the Celtics to a comfortable win, 122-100. And Boston wins the season series against Chicago 3-1.
Now for the Christian Arcan Show.
Yo, it's Arcan
on WEEI.
Welcome in. It is the Christian Arcan Show here on Boston Sports Original, New England Sports Original, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We're here till 10 o'clock. We have a Bruins game that'll be on at the same time we're on. We'll do a quick preview of that later on in the hour as the Bruins now in Winnipeg trying to bounce back from an ugly, ugly loss. What you just heard there was the end of the Celtics game last night. Kristaps Porzingis going off. For your Celtics, and thank God he's been doing that lately because they really need him to. We got that. We got the Bruins back at it tonight against the Jets. We have Terry Rozier wrapped up in a pretty damning gambling probe right now, and Justin Tucker, Baltimore Ravens kicker, caught up in some drama as well. Let's go ahead and kick it all off here with our 6 o'clock headlines.
6 o'clock headlines.
All right, well, let's start with the first one here, and that's the good news. The good news is the Boston Celtics bounced back last night. I know the typical slogan here for the 6 o'clock headlines is that if it bleeds, it leads. But today, I'm actually going to go the other way. I'm going to go the other way and open with the Celtics because that was a pretty good win last night and a win that's emblematic of what's keeping this team afloat right now. And that is largely the play of Kristaps Porzingis. This month of January, you can make a very strong argument that Kristaps Porzingis has been the best player on the Celtics, or if you don't want to go that far, the most consistent player on the Celtics. Kristaps Porzingis' contract is up at the end of the year. And I wonder if there's some sort of window that we need to be aware of here with Porzingis. I also wonder how wise it is to put all your eggs in the Kristaps Porzingis basket. Now, I don't think that's something they're consciously doing. I don't think that Tatum and Brown having a tough January or a tough December even. I don't think that was something they planned on doing or something that they intended for. But it is something that is going on right now, and it's not just those two. Derek White has not been himself lately. Jrue Holiday has, I think, shown flashes of getting back to his old self, but not quite there yet either. And Brown and Tatum, we've detailed what they've been going through here, certainly in the month of January and most of December as well, or part of it anyway, where their shooting percentages are down, three-point, field goal, points per game, assist-to-turnover ratio. Like, there's not a lot of forward progression happening here with the Celtics, except for Kristaps Porzingis, who, after going up and down with his injury status, and we know that that's something that's always going to be there when it comes to Kristaps Porzingis, he has been turning in some real nice performances, and last night, I think, was probably the nicest. I don't know if it's the best game he's ever had with the Celtics, but it was certainly the best one this year and one of the best ones that I can remember him taking over a game like that. It was noticeable because Chicago isn't some team with no bigs. Vucevic is a pretty good big that they have over there, and he had him in hell. Vucevic couldn't do anything, and it wasn't just him. You know, I mean, they threw guys at him off the bench, and Porzingis in 33 minutes finishes with 34 points on 18 shots. 8 of 14 from 3, 11 rebounds, had 3 assists, 3 steals, did not block a shot, ironically, but was a big-time difference maker at the rim, and his rim protection has been another big part of what's been keeping this team going. The other night, they had the double big lineup in. I didn't love that. Houston liked it because they scored a bunch of points there in the fourth quarter and erased a 12-0 deficit, and they were able to win that game largely with those double bigs out there and with Al Horford not in the mix. Horford didn't play again last night. He was a DMP, his left toe bothering him. He was technically a healthy scratch in that Houston game, so that's something I'm going to keep an eye on. The Celtics continue with their up-and-down play. You're at a point now with this team where you never really know what to expect on a nightly basis. You never really know which Celtics team you're going to get. You know what Celtics teams you could get, and you're pretty familiar with what their good and bad versions of themselves are, but it's rare that you really go into a game, even one like last night where they're coming off a bad loss. I expected them to win the game, but I wasn't sure what Celtics team I was going to see. It's a home game. At home, they're not really themselves, and that's very strange to have them with a 16-9 home record. Not bad, obviously, but certainly nothing close to what they were last year.
They only lost 4 games at home last year.
I know.
All of the season.
I mean, that's, first of all, that's remarkable that they were able to do that. By the way, that back there is the voice of Brian Furzocco, and you know why? Joe Braverman, fed up already, said, I'm out of here. I'm done with the Arcan show.
Took less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks. Didn't even get through the second wave. I'm just kidding, obviously. He had scheduled time off. He's down in Florida. We'll see if it was scheduled time off. Maybe he doesn't come back, but I think he probably will. Anyway, Brian in, pinch hitting tonight. So everybody who calls in tonight at 617-779-7937, be nice to Brian. He's not even supposed to be here tonight. You know, I mean, this is he's filling in and filling in very well.
Put here against my will.
Basically, yes. I mean, that everybody has to work this show. Eventually ends up saying, you know, I need some time off. I need to go to Florida. I need to go somewhere. I can't deal with this anymore. Anyway, your Celtics 22-point winners over the Bulls last night, and they have an interesting stretch coming up here. And it's not all tough teams. Like, they have a couple of, like, they play Toronto, but they did lose to Toronto recently. But in the month of February, they have Philadelphia twice, who they also recently lost to, Cleveland, Dallas, the Knicks, the Heat, the Spurs, and the Knicks again. That's all in the first 3 weeks of the month. And for the Celtics right now, I think you can sometimes anticipate what kind of performance you're going to get from these guys. I'm not sure I can really predict it against teams like that. That's a good stretch of teams right there. And generally, I feel like this Celtics team needs some Chicago Bulls food to play with. And, you know, the Bulls stink this year. And they were shorthanded last night, and that was a game that they absolutely should have won. If they didn't win it, I would have been concerned. But they did. And they didn't really hang in the balance much at all. I will say this. Not a great night for Jason Tatum, and I feel like I'm saying that a lot lately, you know? I mean, it has not been a great month here for Tatum. 16 points on 5 of 15 shooting is certainly nothing to write home about. And while his season totals still haven't taken much of a hit, this month he's under all of his season averages, including points per game, including three-point percentage, including field goal percentage in general. It's all down. For a guy who's averaging about 27 points per game this month, it's down to 23. He's shooting under 31% from three. Like, it's been an ugly month. It's been an ugly month for Jason Tatum. He's cracked 30 points 3 times in the month and really has not looked like himself. I think that that's due in part to the long offseason, or the short offseason, I should say, and the long elongated season, I would say, that he had. Going to the finals, Olympics, all that stuff. Didn't play that much in the Olympics, but, you know, he still had to go out there and train and be there with the team and practice and all that stuff. So it may have something to do with that. He may be dealing with something. I mean, listen, it's late in the season. We're just about to February. It's not uncommon. Or maybe it's something else. And I don't know what that other thing might be. But Jaylen Brown, whatever it is, Jaylen Brown's kind of dealing with it too. Because everything I just said about Jason Tatum, you can also say about Jaylen Brown. He did have a better game last night, to be sure. Last night, Jaylen Brown was very efficient scoring. Didn't make a lot of his threes, but was able to get to the free throw line. And I thought had a overall strong game attacking the basket and shooting from the mid-range. This time, I think, was a better performance from Derek White. And the bench, even, you know, Peyton Pritchard, a lot of minutes out there. Didn't hoist up a lot of shots. And I thought was good in the time that they gave him. The rest of that bench, I do have some questions about. We talked with Terp about that the other day. I do think that they're going to have to work out something with this bench rotation, because once you get past the top two guys, it's kind of rough out there. And I like Jaden Springer, and I like some of these guys, but it's, you know, Drew Peterson and, you know, Cada and Walsh and those guys. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how far into it you even really have to worry about, especially when you get to the latter parts of the season and the playoffs. You know, you tighten up that rotation pretty close. But still, it'd be nice to know that there are guys out there when someone like Al Horford can't answer the bell or somebody else dealing with an injury. Anyway, let's get to our second headline. The Boston Bruins back at it tonight, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. All of the direct wildcard opponents for the Bruins are playing tonight. Washington is taking on Ottawa, L.A., and Tampa Bay have a game later on, and the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to be in Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. So this could be an important night here for the Bruins when it comes to their playoff seeding. If they lose and everybody else wins, you know, these things can all change very quickly. If they win and everybody else loses, that could also elevate them past some of these teams. The last time they played the Winnipeg Jets, Winnipeg beat the crap out of them, 8-1, and it was not even really that close. And we were talking about this yesterday, Brian, you weren't here, obviously, but we were talking about the way the Bruins lose, because they are a sub-500 team right now, technically, if you add in their overtime losses. But they're not a bottom-of-the-barrel team. You know, they're not one of these teams that's, like, struggling to get up out of the draft lottery or something like that. Like, they're a below-average team that still managed to be holding on to a playoff spot right now, due in part mostly to all those overtime losses. But still, even without them, you wouldn't say that they were really bad. They have a really bad point differential. Really bad.
When they lose big.
Fourth worst in the league, second worst in the league when it comes to special teams. And that's because exactly what you just said. When they lose games, they get their ass kicked. They've gotten blown out many times this year. And it always seems like it's Jeremy Swayman sitting there in that crease. And I don't know what it is with him when it comes to these games where things get away from him. Now, listen, on the blue line this year, Hampus Lindholm's been injured. Charlie McAvoy's been injured. Brandon Carlo's been injured. You've had a lot of guys missing from that blue line. That's true. But isn't that what Jeremy Swayman, isn't that the slack that he's supposed to pick up instead of just getting peppered with these shots and giving up 8 goals? Like, that to me is indicative of a guy who was maybe enjoying that blue line, I don't want to say dominance because I think that's a little strong, but competency over the last 2 years, maybe more than we gave it credit for. Because when things break down in front of him, he's not there to fix it. He's not there to save the day. And I thought he was that kind of goalie. I thought he could be that kind of goalie. I don't know. Maybe I underestimated how good the defense was playing in front of him. And listen, you got some talented guys there who have missed a lot of time this year. I'm just trying to put two and two together. And I like Swayman. You know, I fought hard for Swayman to get that money. I was yelling and screaming with Andy Hart to the point where we had one of our biggest fights ever. But it's impossible to ignore the crap season that he's given you. He's let in more goals than anybody. I mean, he's a mess out there. And half the time, he's a puddle. And that's the worst part. Like, you can see this team. And I don't think it starts with Jeremy Swayman. I think it starts in the locker room. This is another thing we talked about yesterday. And we'll see how they look coming out of this. They got manhandled by the Buffalo Sabres 2 nights ago. By the Buffalo Sabres. And I love Tage Thompson. I think he's a really fun young player. But that other guy, Paterka, I don't even really know who he was. He's out there giving you a hat trick, too. That was humiliating. The Bruins should be humiliated by that effort and by that performance that they put out there. And I wonder how they respond. I wonder how that Brad Marchand-led locker room is going to respond to what was the type of game where fans start to turn their backs a little bit. You know, like we were getting those calls last night. I would imagine that's what the dialogue was. The dialogue was not, oh, it's okay, they'll bounce back. The dialogue was, that was the Buffalo Sabres. What are we doing here? What is going on with this team? We got a trade deadline coming up, and I think some hard decisions need to be made. And I've been saying this since way early in the season. I've basically been saying this since they lost those two Florida games, and those were in the first 2 weeks of the year. So, listen, I understand. I'm prone to overreact to these things. I admit that about myself. But now, here we are. I mean, we're well underway. We're way too far down this road to start looking at it like, well, you know, just as soon as they catch fire, as soon as they get hot, everything will be okay. Nothing's going to be okay. I don't think anything's going to be okay with this team. And if it is, and if I'm proven wrong, I'd be happy to be proven wrong. But yikes. I mean, it could go way off the rails tonight. Like, you could see the wheels fall off tonight. I hope you don't. I really do. David Pastrnak's on a great point streak right now. I'd hate to see that come to an end tonight in some bludgeoning at the hands of the Winnipeg Jets, like the last game you played against them. you do know this. Kastelic's not ready. He's not going to play tonight. Do we have an update on Hampus Lindholm? Do we know if he's going to go? I know that that was maybe
I can check
up in the air if you could look that up for me. I think they miss both of those guys right now. Certainly they miss Hampus Lindholm. And Lindholm didn't have a tremendous start to the year when he was playing. He had some bad turnovers. Everybody on this blue line's had bad turnovers. It's not something that I'd say is unique to him, but it is something that you've noticed night in and night out. It is a problem. I think they miss him. I definitely think they miss Kastelic. He's been a surprise and one of the few bright spots on this team this year. But really, out of all of those things, out of everything I just mentioned, I'm mostly concerned about the goalie. I'm mostly concerned about that goalie. And I'm wondering if maybe we all got hoodwinked here. I hope that's not true. I hope that Swayman's able to break out of this and deliver something for you at the rest of this season and certainly further on in the contract, because he's signed for a lot of years and a lot of money. And for the fifth highest paid goalie in the NHL, I know it's not going to stay that way. Other guys are going to sign contracts and he's going to go down to the average that it is and the market corrects itself. And of course, that's all true. But even with that, you're talking about a guy who's letting in goals like, you know, they're going out of style. And that just can't happen. I mean, that can't be something that you pay a guy that much money and have to now figure out what you're going to do about it. He was paid that money to be the primary goalie. That's why Linus Ullmark got traded. That's why this whole thing got set into motion the way that it did. And I was happy for that. I thought that was the right move. I thought it was the right move to trade Ullmark. I thought it was the right move to keep Swayman. And right now it's looking like maybe it wasn't. I mean, that's as fair as I can put it. Other people have had much stronger things to say about Swayman and the way things have gone. People who took the team's side in those negotiations. I did not. I took Swayman's side. And again, you know, I had to die on that hill. And here we are. Well, let's see. Let's see how it all goes tonight. Let's see how these Winnipeg Jets treat your Boston Bruins. Let's get to our third headline. Ba, ba, ba. Pew, pew, pew. Bing, bang, boom. Bang, bang, boom. Third headline, I'll just tell you what it is. How about that? That would be Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier. Scary Terry. Full name, Scarence Terrence. I saw that on Twitter. I can't take credit for that. Caught up in some gambling allegations from a couple years ago that now have the federal investigators on his tail. And I'll tell you what, this does not look good for Scary Terry. This is from ESPN News Services. I'm reading, unusual betting patterns surrounding the play of then Charlotte Hornets guard Terry Rozier in a game nearly 2 years ago are now under federal investigation by federal prosecutors, part of the same probe that led to the lifetime ban of Jontay Porter. The Wall Street Journal first reported the investigation, noting that Rozier, who played for the Hornets at the time and now plays for Miami, has neither been charged with a crime nor has been accused of wrongdoing. The NBA said it looked into the matter. By the way, they make a big point of being like, he's not been charged with anything, not even accused of any wrongdoing. He's about to be accused of some wrongdoing, I think. I think that's probably right around the corner here. They maybe don't have it all lined up, ready to make their formal accusation, but I think it's coming. The NBA said they looked into the matter at the time, did not find that any league rules were broken. Quote, in March 2023, the NBA was alerted to unusual betting activity related to Terry Rozier's performance in a game between Charlotte and New Orleans. This was Mike Bass, NBA spokesman, in a statement. The league conducted an investigation, did not find a violation of the rules. We are now aware of an investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York related to this matter and have been cooperating with that investigation, which means, whoops, looks like we didn't really investigate it all that well. Or maybe we left a couple of stones uncovered, and maybe that's a mistake that we made. The U.S. Attorney's Office did not immediately comment. The Heat referred to the NBA statement when asked for a comment. We're aware of the NBA's investigation, and In that investigation, they determined there was absolutely no wrongdoing by Mr. Rozier. We're confident that the ongoing government investigation will arrive at the same conclusion. This is Rozier's attorney. The game involving Rozier that is in question was played March 23rd, 2023. Rozier played the first 9 minutes and 36 seconds of the game, and not only did he not return that night, citing a foot issue, he did not play again that season. Charlotte had 8 games remaining and was not in playoff contention, so it wasn't unusual that Rozier was shut down for the season's final games. In that March 23rd game, Rozier finished with 5 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists in the opening period, a productive quarter, but well below his usual total output for a full game. posts still online from March 23rd, 2023 show that some bettors were furious with sportsbooks that evening when it became evident that Rozier was not going to return to the game after the first quarter. Now, isn't when someone leaves with an injury like that, don't you usually get your money back? I don't know if they all do that, but I know that I think on FanDuel and DraftKings, they both give you refunds on your bet if the guy, if you did a prop bet on somebody and he leaves
I know DraftKings
with an injury.
Sets out for
right?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that that's the case. Maybe it has to be an injury and there wasn't an injury. I don't know. At any rate, it became evident that Rozier wasn't going back into the game. Many turned to social media and said that something shady had gone on regarding the prop bets involving his stats for the night. One frustrated bettor posted an image of a ticket for a three-leg parlay where a $65 wager would have returned $402. The bettor played over 6.5 goals in the Tampa Bay-Ottawa game, over 8.5 rebounds for Julius Randle, both hit, but the ticket didn't cash because Rozier finished well below his prop bet of 32.5 combined points, assists, and rebounds. The bettor picked that he would exceed those numbers. Some sportsbook offered Rozier prop bets. His totals for that night were generally set around 21.5, 6, and 4. On March 23rd, then took down hours before the start of the Charlotte-New Orleans game. It was not clear why that happened, and some bettors wondered aloud why that unusual move had taken place. Rozier was not listed on the team's injury report going into the game. So, this is, on the surface, doesn't seem like the most smoking of guns when it comes to Terry Rozier being at fault here. But Jontay Porter had a very similar investigation go on into his performance and prop bets and all that stuff, where bettors can choose where you're going to hit a certain line during the game. And last April, that guy got banned for life. So I'm just saying it's the same people investigating. They're investigating for the same reasons, and Terry Rozier could be in some big trouble here. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got more stuff to get to as well. We'll preview the Bruins and the Jets. We have more on Terry Rozier. We have this Justin Tucker story out of Baltimore as well. But when we come back, the Boston Celtics, Kristaps Porzingis, can they rely on him? Is that smart? We'll discuss that with you right after Brian gets you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Viva Trattoria. The Boston Bruins will host the Winnipeg Jets tonight at the TD Garden with puck drop at 7 o'clock. Defenseman Charlie McAvoy will return to the lineup tonight. Winnipeg is currently tied with the Washington Capitals for the most points in the NHL. Reports have surfaced that former Bruins captain Zdeno Chara is set to join the Bruins as a front office consultant as well as a mentor to Bruins players. Bruins defenseman Charlie McAvoy has also been named an alternate captain for Team USA for the upcoming Four Nations faceoff. Following their 22-point win over the Bulls last night, Celtics hit the road to play the Pelicans in New Orleans tomorrow night. Tip-off scheduled for 8 o'clock. Packers are set to hire former Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington to be their new defensive line coach. Big news in the NBA today is current Heat and former Celtic guard Terry Rozier is under investigation by federal prosecutors for potentially cooperating in an illegal sports betting scheme in 2023 while he was playing for the Charlotte Hornets. It includes unusual prop betting activity for Rozier. And in a story from the Baltimore Banner today, Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker is being accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by 6 massage therapists. Justin Tucker has since released a statement claiming that these allegations are unequivocally false. Super Bowl 59 is just a week and a half away, and Eagles pass rusher Brandon Graham has been designated to return from the IR. Aviva Trattoria is a proud sponsor of the Greg Hill Spring Training broadcast from Fort Myers, Florida. Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced foods. Be sure to stop into the Hanover location today. I'm Brian Frisoco. That's what's trending on WEEI and on WEEI.com. More Christian Arcan Show coming up after this.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. We're back to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
As Joel always says, it's like varies from game to game. You know? Like some games, they just completely take away, for example, my three. And then every basket I have to like earn with, you know, with meat. I might swerve in that corner, whoa, whoa.
Kristaps Porzingis after his big night. 34 points. Bombing from three. And in a lot of ways, delivering the most consistent performances for a night-in, night-out basis that this Celtics team has. Kristaps Porzingis, I just gave you Tatum's numbers. For the month of January, listen to this for Porzingis. He's averaging 20.5 points per game. which is up from his season average of 19. Not up by a lot, but it's up. His field goal percentage right now is 51.2% for the month, and from three, he's shooting 50.7%. He's hitting more than half of his three-pointers, and he's shooting like six per game. That's, for a guy like him, I mean, that's really good. Like, that's very, very good. And Porzingis, I mean, listen, we all know what he's capable of. We've known it ever since he first got into the league. And the promise of Kristaps Porzingis is sometimes bigger than the reality of Kristaps Porzingis. But this month, as the third guy on this team, as the third scoring option, he's been their best player. I think he's been their best player. He's been their most efficient player by far. He can do a lot, from rebounding to protecting the rim. Doesn't bring the ball up or anything like that, but he's a strong defender. He can score in the post. And his three-point shooting has been ridiculous this month. I mean, ridiculous for a 7'2" guy. I mean, that's insane.
And for a guy who only shoots 6 feet beyond the three-point line.
Right. And who every single time he shoots a three, it's like a straight line. Like, you know, there's no arc. It's not like...
Line drives.
It's a line drive, which I was saying this the other day. Dylan Brooks is maybe half the size of Kristaps Porzingis, and he shoots with a line drive too. And his line drives just kept going in. And Porzingis, maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the way. That is the new way. Arc out, line drive in. That's how you make threes now. Anyway, Porzingis and that shot put three of his is hitting. I mean, really, there's no other way to say it. He's been tremendous. And that worries me. Not because I'm worried about him falling off or anything like that, but I'm just worried about relying so heavily on Kristaps Porzingis. I think that's a dangerous game to play. It's a game that you've played in the past, and you did okay. Ended up winning the NBA championship, so I'd say it was probably better than okay. But I don't remember there being stretches where you really had to count on him to carry the offense, where Brown and Tatum were both having rough months at the same time, and you couldn't really depend on either one of them, so Porzingis had to step up and really be the guy. Like, there was maybe a game or a couple games like that last year, but I don't remember that going on for long stretches. I certainly don't remember a month like that at any point, or a month's worth, like a sample size of that type of thing. And that's a fair thing to be worried about. I know I'm not alone. I know Celtics fan, you're probably mad at me for even bringing this up, but you feel the same way in the back of your mind too. You know what? If you've watched the NBA at all over the last decade, then you know what the Kristaps Porzingis experience is all about. And listen, it's when it's going and when he's on, it's great. That was a great performance. That was a really fun performance to watch. It was fun watching him out there bombing those threes and getting in the lane and really just being the focal point of the offense. But Brown and Tatum need to get their act together. And the way that this team wins, the way that this team dominates, is when he's the true third option, when he's the guy. Now, every now and again, he'll get hot and he'll be the guy. But they've relied on him like that for a month now. And that's not, I don't know. I don't think that's a long-term plan for success. That being said, Kristaps Porzingis is up at the end of the year. And I wonder if there is a Porzingis window that the Celtics need to be more aware of. I think that the Celtics could win more championships in the Brown-Tatum era without Porzingis. I don't think that he's vital to that happening.
They didn't really need him in the postseason last year.
They didn't. That's true. He barely played at all. And they breezed through an admittedly pretty charmed path to the NBA Finals, right? I mean, we got the Heat with no Butler. Mitchell went down with the Cavs last year, who weren't even close to what they are this year. And the Pacers are the Pacers. You know, they beat, who'd they beat? The Knicks, who were banged up, and the Knicks beat the Bucks, who were banged up.
And like, didn't Halliburton miss a couple games in the Celtics series, too? Like, he wasn't fully healthy.
It was a very charmed path to the NBA Finals. It reminded me a lot of the way 2019 with the Bruins. They didn't have to play Washington that year. They didn't have to play Tampa Bay. They just kind of, I think it was Carolina, Columbus, and I forget who else, but they just
Toronto, of course, in the first round.
Obviously, Toronto. And they breezed right through that. They got to the finals, and then they got seen by St. Louis. We all remember how that went. Sorry to even bring that back up. But that's sort of what it reminded me of. And I think that if they go up against teams that are full strength this year, I'm not really afraid of too many of them. Maybe Cleveland, yeah. Maybe the Knicks a little bit, but I think they could win a series against the Knicks. I'm pretty sure they could win a series against all the teams that they played last year if they have to play them in a series again this year, except for Cleveland. Cleveland, I don't know. I mean, I think that Cleveland's doing something special this year and have been able to maintain that for most of the season with very few hiccups. Celtics have hiccups all the time. The Celtics' last 2 months have been one big hiccup, and that's something to keep in mind. Now, Kristaps Porzingis, if you think that he is necessary to keep this thing going, I wonder how the sale of the team is going to factor into that. I wonder how it's going to factor into a lot of different things with this team and its future and how it's all going to be held together. I really think that this is a huge thing here. And you can't really know anything about it because it's so secretive. Bill Simmons is leaking certain names here and there, but for the most part, we don't really know who's bidding right now. We know Lurie's in the mix, or that Simmons reported that Lurie's in the mix. I know that there was some talk or chatter about foreign entity, you know. I don't know if it was government entities or what, but listen, a lot of people want in on the NBA. It's a very international game. Wouldn't shock me at all if that's part of who starts throwing down bids on the Celtics. I also wonder how much someone like Lurie, or really anybody who takes over the team, what they're going to do with those books. How are they going to look at those books, at these salaries, at the repeater tax, at all the things that come with what Wick Grosbeck left the new owners with? All of that. It's a hefty, hefty price to pay. And Irv got tired of paying it. And I wonder how much of that, how much freight a new owner would want to come in and pay, especially if they don't repeat as champions. I kind of feel like that's a big factor here. And it's a lot to put on a team. Only one team can win the championship, right? A lot of things have to go your way for that to even be part of the conversation, okay? It's been a new champion every year for the past 6-7 years. No one's repeating anymore. It's very, very hard to do. We all think the Celtics can and should do it. I certainly do. But I wonder, no matter who the owner is, assuming it's not some Steinbrenner Grosbeck type, and I mean Wick Grosbeck type, who's just going to keep chucking money around and not give a patoot about the repeater tax or any of that other stuff, the different aprons and all that. Doesn't matter. I just want a winner. I'll pay whatever it takes. I don't care if I have to pay the payroll twice with all these taxes. I'll go out there and do it. Unless it's somebody like that. And let's be honest, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think there's any chance that someone's going to spend $6 billion on the team and be like, yeah, let's just keep throwing money away. Like, something tells me that that's not the new generation of pro sports owners in the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL anywhere. I just don't think teams are doing that, except the Guggenheim people over there with the Dodgers. They're the one exception. Other than that, I don't want to say penny pinching, but it's definitely eyes on the budget, eyes on the bottom line. Let's make sure we're all getting our beaks wet here, and if we win, that's great, and if we don't, big deal. You know, we all made out okay. So I wonder if we should be treating this more like a Kristaps Porzingis window. Because it does sort of seem like if there's going to be some cuts made, they're going to look at the easy ones first, and that's going to be the guys whose contracts are up. And right now, Kristaps Porzingis, you cannot afford to lose him. You certainly can't afford to lose him this year to injury or whatever else. And that's another big part of the Kristaps Porzingis experience, is that you never really know how available he's going to be. But right now, he's playing out of his mind. He was terrific last night against that Chicago Bulls team. He's been your most consistent player here for going on a month plus. And for the Celtics, they should be thankful that he's putting up these type of numbers and these type of stats. But they should also be wary about a life without Kristaps Porzingis and how they can adapt to that and how these other guys need to step up and start playing like we know they can play. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Boston Bruins and the Winnipeg Jets will be dropping puck here in about 20 minutes. We'll do a quick preview of that with your phone calls right after this.
Covering Boston sports and beyond, we're back to Christian Arcand on WEEI.
The Jets with a dominant victory over the Boston Bruins. They open things wide open in the third period, and they beat Boston 8-1, and it's all over.
It's a Christian Arcand show. show here, WEEI. Broadcasting live, 93.7 in Boston. Also up in Portland, Saco, Maine, Keenan, Brattleboro, Upper Valley, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, and the Cape. Wherever you're tuning in on your radio, thanks for joining us. Also, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, we appreciate that as well. If you missed any part of the show, want to go back and listen to it, you can listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to the Christian Arcan Show on the Odyssey app or wherever it is that you find your podcasts. The Boston Bruins, who what you just heard there was the last time they played the Winnipeg Jets. It was ugly. They got smoked. They got Winnipeg again tonight. And they will be looking to bounce back after a game that I can only describe as a pride-puncturing loss. As the Buffalo Sabres skated out, well, I guess you skated over there, and got just mollywopped by one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. Winnipeg now skating to Boston tonight at TD Garden, where the Bruins will try and bounce back, not just from an ugly loss last night, but an ugly loss last time they played Winnipeg. They should be doubly motivated here for this game tonight. Per Scott McLaughlin, these were your Bruins lines in warmups. Pavel Zacha centering Morgan Geekie and David Pastrnak up on the top line. You got Elias Lindholm on the second line centering Marchand and Coyle. Matty Patras with Trent Frederick and Brageau. Beecher with Koepke and Lettieri. Your D pairings, Charlie McAvoy back. He was activated off IR. They sent Max Jones back down to Providence. Mike Callahan going to be up with the big team a little bit longer. Zadorov and Peak is your second pairing. Wetherspoon and Carlo is your third. Jonas Korpisalo will be in net tonight, not Jeremy Swayman. Now, I do believe this was a scheduled rotation game, but even if it wasn't, I might have made this move too. I'm starting to think that Jeremy Swayman, and I'm not saying for the whole season or whatever, but for this game, you got crushed by them last time. The Buffalo Sabres ran up the score on you two nights ago. You can't afford another Jeremy Swayman blowout tonight. I'm sorry, you just can't. This is an important game. This is an important night. All those other teams that are competing with you for that wild card spot are all playing tonight. As I said, Ottawa's playing Washington, Tampa Bay's hosting LA, and the Blue Jackets are in Vegas. So they're all playing tonight. They're all going. You can't afford to get handled like that again with all these teams active. Now, some of them may lose, some of them may win, I don't know. But you're holding on to this thing with all your might. And I worry. I worry about these Bruins and their ability to not let go of the rope. You know, I mean, it's really that's what it is. If there's one thing that you can say about this Bruins team that they do consistently, it is when they start to lose it, they really lose it. When things start to get out of hand, they don't circle the wagons. They don't calm down. They don't rebound from their bad play and go back out there and adjust and come back in these games. Usually it goes the other way. Usually they get taken apart. And if that happens again here tonight, I mean, listen, you know, we're already panicking pretty hard with this team. And usually if you have a very, very poor goal differential, which they do, you're down there at the bottom of the league. The Bruins are not. The Bruins are not because they don't lose that many games. But the games that they lose them in spectacular fashion. So, with that being said, Korpisalo, right move. Right move. Because one of the biggest issues with this team when things fall apart is I think Jeremy Swayman kind of disengages. I think that's apparent if you watch these games. Couple of those goals two nights ago were not competitive. He was not competitive on those goals. And all season long, he's had a major problem with giving up big rebounds, getting the cross on breakaways. Really little things that you never really worried about with him. Now, McAvoy's back tonight. You don't have your full defensive group, but you do have McAvoy back, and I think that does mean something. But, man, with the way things have gone lately, with the way Swayman's looked lately, putting Korpisalo in there is the right move right now. And he's been a pretty good backup goalie. Like, he's been, for what you're asking of him, he certainly wasn't as good as Swayman was as the backup last year. And I know, really, they were kind of split in time, but he was technically considered Ullmark's backup 2 years ago for sure, and then, you know, for part of last year, and then things kind of flipped. But you know what I mean? Like, he hasn't been that, but Korpisalo's been about what you want. About what you'd hope for a backup goaltender. You know, an average, slightly above average backup. We'll see if he can go out there and stop the bleeding tonight. Also, I'd like to see somebody other than that top line get going. Zaka, Geeky, and Pastrnak have been fine. I mean, they, you know, Pasternak's been tremendous. Geeky, I think, has done a good job of making sure that he's in the right spot and able to supplement what Pasternak's doing out there, especially when the defense starts focusing in on him. I think Geeky's done a great job of letting Pasternak set him up and finishing around the net. And Zaka, I think, has done a good job of both of them. But aside from that top line, you're not getting much of anything from anybody. And that's got to change. I don't know who's going to change it. I don't know if it's going to be Marchand busting out on that second line. I don't know if it's going to be someone like Beecher. I don't know if it's going to be Brageau or Potras or Trent Frederick or any of those guys in the third and fourth lines. But something has to be done here. And I think that's a big reason why they miss Kastelic so much. Kastelic is a big, tough guy, but he was scoring goals for you on that fourth line to start the year. He cooled off a little bit, so I'm not going to pretend like he was keeping that up all season and that you could count on him every single night. But that's a guy who they do miss. You can tell that they miss him, and he's not going to be back for this game here tonight. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones, as we have a lot of you waiting patiently here to talk Bruins, talk Celtics, and Brandon in Boston, who wants to talk about the NFL draft order. We have some football to get to as well, so let's go ahead and start that right now with Brandon. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. This is what I would do in the draft order. So, of course, you know, in the first round, I'm drafting McMillan. So that's obvious. You have to go get a guy to pair up with May that he can grow with. That's a legit target and a threat.
All right. You're drafting him fourth overall.
I'm grabbing him. That's my first round pick. Second round pick,
okay.
I'm going to grab Donovan Isiraku from Boston College. He's a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
He has attributes of Micah Parsons. I believe he had 37 solo tackles and 16 sacks on the QB. He makes it very difficult, you know, for the QB
mm-hmm.
To make a decision. And that's a guy that I draft, and then you go tackle third round, and then you get a wide receiver again in the third round. So that would be like Keandre Lambert-Smith. Go check him out from Auburn.
Okay.
He's legit.
All right.
And then after that, you just go maybe you want to get a strong safety or – a corner, you need to fill out the rest, but that's my order.
Okay, thanks, Brandon. I don't think they need a strong safety. They need a free safety. They got a bunch of strong safeties. Duggar's a strong safety. Peppers is a strong safety. They need a free safety. That's what I would like to see if they draft a safety, which I don't really think they should, but if they do end up doing that and going that way in the draft, fine. McMillan at four, I will not say I hate. As Brian just said in my ear, the Patriots, great track record when it comes to drafting wide receivers. I agree with you. I mean, they haven't really had their pick of a blue chipper, in a long, long time. Last year, they could have had Harrison. They could have had Neighbors. They could have had, what's-his-face in Jacksonville, the other kid from LSU, Brian Thomas.
I just trust them more signing a proven guy in free agency or making a trade. I just don't trust anybody in that organization to draft a good receiver.
It's fair. I mean, it's new. Some new people, not all new people, but some new people. But some of those new people were in Tennessee when they tried to replace A.J. Brown with that bum who...
Traylon Burks,
who stinks. Maybe they don't know how to do it either. But at any rate, thanks for the call, Brandon. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Terry Rozier, in some trouble here. I described the bare bones of the case early on in the headlines there, but there's some more to it that I think needs to be addressed and discussed. And also other gambling situations that have gone on, not just in the NBA, but Shohei Ohtani and some other things that have kind of butted up against this great partnership that these gambling companies now have with all these sports leagues. We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
The Christian Arcand Show on WEEI.
WEEI.
WEEI.